Welcome to the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast with your host, hailing from Kokona, Wisconsin, riding a CST Tires SSI decals traveling back Yamaha YFZ450R, four-time ATV motocross national champion, number 25, Cody Jansen.
What's up, everybody?
We're back!
Welcome to the latest edition of the Digging Deep ATVMX podcast, episode 135 of the Digging Deep ATVMX podcast, presented by our title sponsor, CST Tires, in stock and available for purchase today at shop.csttires.com. I'm your host, Cody Jansen, saying hello to our over 254,000 monthly Digging Deep listeners in 108 countries in which you are listening, and this is our 2024 Etchikani Race Review Show. After 9 long years, Etchikani MX in Macon, Georgia made its triumphant return to the ATV Motocross National Circuit. For years, Etchikani was a staple of the ATV Nationals. It was so good to be back, and the racing lived up to the hype. We'll cover it in the episode ahead with the help of Ian Harris from SSI Decals, and with special guest Kevin Saar stopping by to chat about his big Pro-Am victory on the weekend. But first, let's quickly shout out all of our incredible partners. CST Tires, go to shop.csttires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew. Thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Launderville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Haymauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing, our choice when it comes to case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. The D6 Ultimate Quad Series, really setting the standard when it comes to local and regional ATV racing, aside from the National Series. So we're stoked to have the D6 Ultimate Quad Series on board. And Manscaped, get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. Here we are already covering round 3. The season is in full swing, and it's time to keep the good vibes going by going to manscaped.com and using code DIGGINGDEEP20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Whether it's on the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the GOAT of electric razor trimmers, my favorite, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit from Manscaped, or the best nose hair trimmer ever created, the Weed Whacker 2.0, get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. So rad that Manscaped is continuing to invest in ATV racing as a longtime partner of Digging Deep. Help us keep them in the fold and involved in ATV racing by using our DIGGINGDEEP20 code so they know you enjoy Digging Deep and what we're all about. Support all the great companies that support us, and for any products that fall through the cracks, be sure to click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner on our website. The 2024 season is here, of course. No matter what off-road gear parts you need, Rocky Mountain ATVMC has you covered. But before you buy, simply click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner on our website. By using our specific link, we get a percentage of what you buy on the back end, enabling you to help us out while purchasing the parts you need anyway. And did you know you can buy OEM parts from Rocky Mountain ATVMC as well? Yep, shipped conveniently right to your door. So click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner at diggingdeepatvmx.com to help us out while satisfying all your gear and parts needs. And lastly, shout out to all of our donors over the years. If you are interested in donating and hearing your name here on the show, you can find the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee donation links on our website. Major thanks to all who have donated. Now, if you can't donate, but you still want to help us out, you can always leave us a rating or review on iTunes and Spotify. That means a bunch to us too. Now, it's showtime. The 30-second board is up, it's sideways, and the gate is down. Time to dig deep.
Let's go!
All right, guys, I'm stoked for this race review show. Growing up, Etchikani held a certain mystique always in my mind. There's just something about a true sand track. It's unlike the other rounds on the ATV Motocross National Tour. So needless to say, I'm pumped to cover this one. And I'm just as excited to be joined by tonight's guest, one of my favorite people in our industry. He does so much for the sport, yet he's still just as passionate as he seemed on day one. He's always down to bench race with me. Just loves bench racing just as much as anybody, not to mention he was a day one believer of our vision here at Digging Deep. Brought to you by SSI Decals, use code DIGGINGDEEP10 while shopping for the best decals, graphics, vinyl wraps, and apparel in the industry at SSIDecals.com. Owner of SSI Decals himself, say hello to Mr. Ian Harris. What's up, Ian? Thanks so much for joining me once again here on the pod.
Hey, Cody. Thank you. Appreciate it again. It's always great to jump on here and bench race, like you said.
Yeah, you gotta enjoy love it, man. Gotta love it. So we always have so much fun when you're on the show. And as I mentioned, you're always down to bench race, just like you said. So even when you're not on the show, it's funny because you'll send me an email with your thoughts from the weekend or recapping one of our shows. And I love that. That's what this is all about. That's what we do this for. So Etchikani makes its triumphant return to the series after a 9-year hiatus, Ian. And other than that stray year or two there, I think it was really just 1 year. It's really been closer to 20 years since it's been a regular stop on our tour. So what is your first memory of the iconic Macon, Georgia facility, Ian? Because I got to believe it's from 20 plus years ago, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes way back. In fact, I've never rode the track in all the years. But I remember when Chad first started racing and I first started helping him, you know, 20 plus years. And I remember talking to him about it, and just my schedules never lined up to be able to go down there and race when the races happened. And I, you know, remember not just him, but other people just talking how gnarly and rough that place got. And so my first time there was back in 15 when they took the national there after however many years. So I was stoked to go back there again this year after, you know, that break of, yeah, what was it, 9 years, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, near a decade. Yep.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I was stoked to be like, when I seen it on the schedule, I'd be like, yeah, I definitely have to go to this race, just knowing how similar it is to Sunset and Redbud, and just the track itself is just, I had remembered it as great lines for racing. It got super rough, just... Yeah, it was just a great facility. I remember it as.
I love the connections to like years past too. You know, Etchikani, they went to Etchikani for forever, it seemed like. And you know, I felt the same way when we started going to Birch Creek again, you know, probably 10 years ago. And very similar to like Gatorback last year. I mean, there's just so many races that like they raced at when I was a kid, you know, and to go back there and do it again, it's just like a connection to what ATV motocross was in, you know, the heyday where we were so infatuated with it and whatever, when, you know, you were really getting into it, when Chad was just kind of getting in the pro ranks and stuff like that. I mean, those are just cool connections to have. So going back to a track like Etchikani, that's why it seemed, you know, iconic to me. And like I said, we don't have anything like that on the schedule anymore. Cause just like you said, kind of similar to Sunset Ridge, kind of similar to tracks like Redbud at the same time. And I know that they built some more man-made jumps and stuff this year, but what made Etchikani is the fact that the track that you got on Friday morning was different than the track on Friday afternoon, was different than the track on Saturday morning to Saturday afternoon. I mean, a sand track is ever changing, you know, and just having something different on the circuit, I think is a really cool thing. Just like Daytona is a supercross, we have like our Southwick, you know, that's Etchikani. Yeah. And I hope that we have Etchikani kind of on the schedule to stay, because again, it's just cool to have something different. And like I said, a connection to ATV racing from the past. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you get the whole weather that plays into it, you know, rain coming in. And I think Saturday night it did, shortly after I left, they said it just downpoured there. And then that adds a whole nother element for, you know, Sunday's races. And for sure. So, yeah, it is cool to see that for sure. And I ran across after the race, I ran across an Instagram post from Matt Walker. And I think it was like before or shortly after Daytona, one of those time frames there. And he was just in his tractor and just talking about how he was prepping everything and how he was pumped that the ATVs were coming back there. So that's cool to see, you know?
Yeah. That's super cool, because he's not even just Matt Walker being the owner of Etchikani. And Man, it almost makes the hair on my arm stand up because, like, growing up too, same era, like 2004, 5, 3, you know, Matt Walker was a PC rider for Mitch Payton, and he was one of the guys on the Great Outdoors that, like, was like, yeah, that guy's badass, you know? So to then have him on the tractor and excited to have ATVs, like, that's another cool thing. So just love it. I love it. Been looking forward to this one since the schedule came out, and yeah, stoked to talk about it. And the other thing that I kind of think of when Etchikani is the topic is one of the first things that pops to mind now, knowing what we know, is other than being rough beyond words, basically, in the past, and I know it was rough this year too, but I believe it was where Chad first tested the Suzuki. I'm almost positive that's what he had said here on the show. I believe that's what he told us. And kind of speaking about Chad, great memory there, him trying the Suzuki for the first time, I believe, like, on the Monday after the race weekend there at Etchikani in 2007. But speaking of our buddy Chad Weenan, that was one of the things. That was one of the long emails that we kind of exchanged back and forth, Ian, was like disbelief that this happened. And we sure are missing seeing the number 44 out there, Ian. It's still hard for me to even wrap my head around it. Like, there's just this big, big gaping missing void, and I hate it.
Yeah, definitely. I bumped into Donnie Luce there at the track over the weekend, and you know, we were just chatting, and he's like, it's not the same with Chad not here, you know. Which is true. You're just like, it's definitely a void, you know. I mean, it just adds a whole nother element when he's there and on the track with those guys. So yeah, it's a crazy deal for sure, and can't wait if he makes the decision to come back and race to see him back out there. So
yeah, I hope so too. You probably had a very similar conversation to one that Donnie and I and Brooke had at the Yamaha thing just after Daytona. And at the time, it's still disbelief now, don't get me wrong, but it was really disbelief then. It was really like, man, like Donnie said the same thing, it's just not going to be the same. And I've been on these shows saying, like, it's going to freaking suck when we don't have the guy. He's Tom Brady, you know, he's whatever athlete or sport you want to compare him to, but he's like the GOAT. It's just not the same without him. So you're probably, you know, you maybe have intel, maybe you don't. And like I've been saying on these shows, Chad might not know what he wants to do at this point, but I don't know if we've seen the last of him on the starting gate. I don't know what all that looks like and whatever. And I wouldn't put you on the spot to ask you that or what you thought about that. He's our buddy. But have you talked to him at all? Like, do you know how he's doing? Because I've been, we're supposed to be at Bud's Creek together in a couple weeks here for the ATV weekend there. And I thought that they have plans to have a live show and stuff like that. So I was kind of holding off, and I wanted to respect his space during what's probably not the easiest of times, I would think, for him being the gnarly competitor that he is. So I thought I was going to hold off till then to talk to him about it. But how is he doing? I mean, a friend, how's he taking it and kind of transitioning, at least for the time being, into being super dad?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just chatted with him Monday, I think it was, and he's back home in Illinois now. That in fact, they made the trek back Saturday. They started to come return back north. So yeah, I mean, I think he's, you know, trying to adjust as best that he can. I mean,
he doesn't know what it's like have to be like a normal dude, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Just like probably feels, and I kind of got the drift that he feels like he has a lot of time to kill, you know, like just doing things, whatever, if it's around his house with the kids, just from his normal routine that he's always been used to, it's just, you know, like flipping a 180 for him. So I invited him to come down to Crawfordsville with me. You know, he's going to check his schedule, and I hope he can, you know, I hope he can make the trip and come down and watch, as tough as I'm sure it is for him. But on the other hand, I know people would be excited and stoked to see him. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things when Ezra Beasley from Bud's Creek, when I reached out to him, I'm like, hey, so Chad's, you know, hurt and out for the year. So like, is he going, or, you know, like what's going on? Cause I thought, you know, between him going and me going, Ezra at one point had made it sound like those are the two things that his whole weekend hinged on. So I was just trying to make sure everything was still a go or whatever. And he's like, no, Chad says he's in. So I'm like, that's awesome. I mean, just to have him at the track and around it, I'm sure it's hard or will be hard, but at the same time, I hope that it's like a good thing because that's where he belongs.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, I needed to touch on Chad there while we got you. But from one all-time great to another, Ian, Joel Hetrick, you're a big part of his program too. And Joel Hetrick is streaking, folks. He's essentially notched another perfect weekend. He essentially notched another perfect weekend at round three. He topped both qualifiers, topped the qualifiers there by 2+ seconds. He led every lap but one, winning both motos by more than 20 seconds each. So, Ian, I'll lob you the question that seems to be so difficult every week is what is there left to say about this guy, Ian? Because he's about as locked in and as perfect and spot on and all the things as we've ever seen him, and as just about like we've ever seen anybody, maybe comparable to the first year of Chad's run where he was seemingly was the just so head and shoulders the guy. So I don't know what else there is to say about the guy, but I'll give you the opportunity to give your 2 cents.
Yeah, he's definitely on another level, and when you see him out there riding, I'm just like, you know, it makes me wonder, does he get bored, you know, being that far out in front? Like, I mean, I'm not bored, but you're just like, because I mean, he makes it look effortless, and even though I'm sure, you know, it's not, I know it's not, it's just, you get in that zone and you're at that level and you just, it's, that's the speed you go. I mean,
right. Crazy. You're exactly right. And I've had very similar thoughts. You know, we've all went to maybe like a local race and you're supposed to win. And it's like, you don't even like get that big of a natural high off it because you're supposed to win. And I'm like, man, is that how he feels? Because, they're the best of the best guys. The class is amazing right now. Like the guys behind him are freaking going for it, but Joel is as talented as anybody. And he freaking works his tail off and rides a ton and all those things. His program is perfect. And I think that with so much talent and a perfect program and the work ethic that he has and the motivation he has, I mean, we know he's a dog. He's fiery inside that little body of his. And I just think that's the perfect combination to just be like, man, I always want more.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's exactly how it is. And that's how he feels is, you know, there's every single moto to him is he wants more and he's going to give it 110%. And that's just how he is. Definitely.
It's
amazing crazy. For sure.
It's crazy. And to think that it was Joel's 60th career pro class overall win is an amazing thing to think about
too. That's amazing.
He's drawn to within 6 races of Chad Weenan's number 66. And I always keep myself from saying record, right? Because I don't know. I'm only guessing on how many Gary Denton has. I don't know if it's as many. I don't even want to say my gut tells me one way or the other, because I don't know. But either way, Joel is on a hell of a run right now. And he and Chad could draw even before this season comes to an end, which is another amazing thing to think about. But the guy is so locked in. And the other thing that's cool, and I often think about this, I mean, I know you do stuff in the dirt bike side and have for years, but the fact that, you know, you guys are so tight with Phoenix as a whole, and to have the riders that they've had ride for their team now, riders like Dylan Ferrandis, you know, running SSI decals and stuff like that. And I know you guys do so much cool stuff. Maybe it's not as cool to you as it is to me, but man, that's just something like the bridge, you know, that probably started with Joel a number of years ago, or, you know, the ATV connection either way. But that's a pretty cool bridge too, because you guys have done a lot of cool things and the Milliken thing and all the stuff we talk about on our ads and have had on our show here and all those things. But man, the reach that starts with ATV racing and has a lot to do with Joel Hetrick, it's far reaching. And then even dating back before that, you know, the way Chad got you into this whole thing, it's a really cool thing to think about and how ATV racing and motocross racing as a whole is at the roots of SSI. That's a pretty rad thing too.
Yeah, it is crazy when you think back like that and bringing up, you know, the Phoenix thing and Dylan, and yeah, it's, you know, thanks to David for sure, David Eller for giving us the opportunity to work with them and their team and believe in us as well. And yeah, it's kind of surreal, you know. I mean, it's just like, yeah, you're sponsoring you know, and making graphics and everything else for these, you know, a top level athlete in supercross like that. And it's crazy how it really is such a small motocross, whether it's ATV or dirt bikes, it really is such a small niche audience market that's out there.
Yeah.
so many people are intertwined and interconnected, know each other. And so, yeah, it is. I mean, it's crazy when you think like that.
Yeah. And the cool thing too, is like, you can see some of like the pictures that get put out of, you know, preseason Phoenix stuff or whatever, where that, where everything's perfect. And the bikes look exactly like a factory bike, you know, and, yeah, and you have them with SSI and everything looking exactly like a factory bike. And that's something that's really cool to me as well. But yeah, to think about SSI decals being on a former lights champion, super 250 class, supercross champion, and outdoor 450 champion bike. That's a really cool thing. I don't know. I nerd out about the two wheeled stuff too. So yeah, that's super cool. But getting back to the ATV stuff. So yeah, nothing left to say about Joel Hetrick. He's awesome. No,
for sure.
P2 on the weekend, Ian, is a rider that's obviously near and dear to your heart as well. Of course, I'm talking about your daughter Iza's boyfriend, Bryce Ford. And I thought he put together a masterful race day. I thought it was one of the best days that we've seen from him in his professional career. It's no secret that he wasn't stoked about the third place that he got at Underground. He said on the podium he was going to be better, and he was motivated and all those things. And credit to him for actually bringing that to life. Then he used it as motivation, and he clearly was the next best guy in Georgia. And I thought that was really impressive, because it's one thing to say, hey man, I'm upset about this, even though I'm on the podium, I want more. And then to use it as fuel and go grab another gear at the next race, that's really impressive.
Yeah, it was super impressive. And I wasn't in Texas to witness that race. I mean, I watched it live as much as I could, and live feeds, live timing, all that good stuff, and seen his podium interviews. And you could, like you said, clearly see that he was not happy and he needed to do some work before the next round. So, you know, for him coming into Georgia, he obviously knew he did the work. And like he mentioned in a video I seen, you know, he qualified third or something. And, you know, some of them guys, I don't know if they let it bother him if they don't qualify good or whatever. I don't think it bothers him. And yeah, when that gate dropped and he came out, he was firing on all cylinders for sure. And he was pretty buried on that first.
Heck yeah, he was.
Bull shot. I mean, he was like seventh, eighth or something, but he just started moving through, picking people off. And I knew he said he was struggling with some suspension in Texas, but he obviously got that dialed and his bike was working, and he was ready to put on a fight and a charge. And he did just that for sure.
Yeah. I think that, like I said, bringing it to life, bringing, you know, grabbing that extra gear. And then, like you just said, in the first moto, he came from seventh on the opening lap to be all the way in the second spot by mid race, which is super impressive. And there's nowhere to hide at a track like Etchikani, right? Like, it's going to get you. If you didn't do the work, if you're not in shape, like, everybody's going to see it. And for him to be racing forward there and, you know, run his best laps at the end of the race and all those things, I just thought that's why I was so impressed. And then in Moto 2, he was fifth early. So again, he had to race up to second, did that once again. And it was a very demanding track, like I said. And I just, like I said, I thought it was one of the best races of Bryce's career, not to make it to be something bigger than it's not, but to be the next best guy, to clearly be the next best guy behind Joel, man, those are like wins, honestly, for these kids that are so much younger than Joel and kind of on a different, you know, career arc or whatever, you know, like, they're not at their peak yet. They're still working to get there. And I think that it was really impressive. And it's fun to see this battle that's going on between, you know, really it's not a two rider fight when you watch it on the racetrack, because other guys can get up in there and mix it up, but in the points and the guys that have been there every single moto this year so far, it's been coming down to Bryce and Hoag for the other podium spots. And that's a battle that's going to be really fun to watch down the stretch.
We'll get right back to the show, but now a word from our sponsors. And thank you for listening to these ads. Without these great companies, none of this would be possible. Show your support for the people who support us.
The official tire choice of Digging Deep, CST tires are the choice of ATV Racing's elite on the track, in the woods, and every other terrain. CST tires swept the ATV racing world in 2022 as Joel Hetrick, Bryson Neal, and Bo Barron rode their Pulse MXR and Pulse HT tires to an ATV Pro Motocross title, GNCC XC1 Pro title, and 10th ATV Pro Works Racing title, respectfully. Led by champion Joel Hetrick and podium contenders Bryce Ford, Jeffrey Rastrelli, and Nick Janusa, CST's Pulse MXR tire is the most trusted tire in ATV Motocross today. Available in soft and standard compounds, the Pulse MXR offers the highest level of traction, most predictable cornering, and superior wear characteristics when compared to the competition. And did I mention they have a contingency program as well? Visit shop.csttires.com to join the CST Takeover today, or prepare to be beat by someone who did. The best of the best choose CST. Do you? You know we're Team Blue Crew here at the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast, as the Yamaha YF-Z450R is the official ATV of Digging Deep. In a move started by 8-time ATV MX Pro Class National Champion Chad Weenan, who with his next championship will become the winningest champion in ATV motocross history, we are living in ATV Racing's YF-Z450R era. Alongside Weenan, 7-time GNCC XC1 Pro ATV National Champion Walker Fowler welcomed a pair of new champions to the Yamaha Champions Club, as the podium-proven Yamaha YF-Z450R proved to be the winning choice for Joel Hetrick and Bryson Neal. This unprecedented success for the YF-Z450R, its unrivaled quality and performance, and the clear fact that Yamaha is the leading OEM supporter of ATV racing has resulted in a complete Yamaha takeover within the sport quad market. Evident by the continuation of Yamaha's Blue Crew Racer Support Program, Yamaha riders will once again cash in on payout and prize opportunities in 2023, including a chance to win a brand new YF-Z450R. For more info, head over to YamahaBlueCrew.com. Follow Yamaha Outdoors, as well as the new Blue Crew official channel on social media, and check out Yamaha's full proven off-road lineup at YamahaOutdoors.com today. SSI decals, your way. SSI Decals sets the standard with the best looking decals, graphics kits, and vinyl wraps in the industry. Established in 1947, SSI took shape as an offshoot of their parent company by doing a little work for local pro Chad Weenan. Nearly two decades later, and fueled by a passion for ATVs, the company has flourished into one of ATV Moto's most recognized brands. From ATV Motocross, SSI has expanded into graphics and design work for top racers in GNCC, Works Racing, Pro Motocross and Supercross, off-road, and more, headlined by 8-time world champion Top Fuel drag racer Clay Milliken. Whether your project is big or small, SSI Decals will make your identity stick. Get started today at SSIDecals.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 for 10% off at checkout. Things are about to get sick. The Digging Deep ATV MX podcast is brought to you in part by DID and their wide range of championship-winning chains. From the street to the track and everywhere in between, DID chains are designed to give you the optimal riding experience with great performance and increased chain life. Consistent to the core, pick up your box of reliability today. DID, what drives you?
We are proud to be partnered with Nomura Technologies. For over 20 years, Nomura has pushed the limit of value and reliability in the ATV and side-by-side market. Covering more applications than anyone in the industry, Nomura's full line of cast and forged pistons, connecting rods, gasket kits, and industry-leading top-end repair kits and more have led to higher overall engine performance for your machine. Visit your local dealer or online at www.nomura.com and follow along on Instagram for giveaways and exciting new products in 2023. Nomura Technologies, your one-stop shop engine component supplier.
We are pleased to be partnered with Bronco ATV and UTV Components. Bronco has been an industry leader in replacement hard parts and accessories for all makes and models for over 15 years. With a catalog that includes a full line of electrical components, engine internals and cylinders, shock and suspension parts, winches, clutch kits, valves, carb kits, bearing kits, and drive chain parts, Bronco is your hard part source for whatever you need for whatever you ride. Available exclusively through distributors around the world, visit your local dealer or online at BroncoATV.com.
For over 150 years, Valvoline has been dedicated to constant improvement and innovation across all disciplines of racing. As a proud member of Team Valvoline for nearly a decade, I have witnessed their unwavering commitment to pushing the boundaries of performance. Valvoline has sponsored some of the greatest names in motorsports, solidifying their position as a powerhouse within the industry. Being a part of this historically great team has been an incredible privilege. When it comes to my equipment, whether it's my daily commuting vehicles, race quads, or anything in between, I trust nothing but Valvoline. Their range of products and lubricants consistently deliver increased horsepower, durability, and engine life. I'm excited to announce Valvoline's breakthrough in performance, Valvoline Ultimate Power Sports. With up to 8 times stronger rust protection and 50% better wear protection, this cutting-edge formula ensures your ATV's engine runs smoother and longer for the ultimate ride. Tackle rugged terrains with confidence, knowing your ATV's engine is equipped with the best protection available. Ready to experience the next level of performance? Head over to shop.valvolineglobal.com and use code DIGGINGDEEP10 at checkout to unlock an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to enhance your ATV's performance with Valvoline's Ultimate Power Sports Engine Oil. That's a battle that's going to be really fun to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminded me, he reminded me even of the old, the younger days when Chad would get a bad start and have to pick his way back up through to catch Joel. And like you said, to see a young rider like Bryce, I mean, young in both age and number of years, he's been in the pro class, but to have that drive and to, you know, be able to get his, just work your way back up on a gnarly track like that. I mean, in that first race, Max was putting up a heck of a fight, and then I didn't see where he came off the bike at one point, but you know, he was definitely giving a fight. And then even in the second moto, Max was giving him a good fight. Between Brandon and then Ristrelli was up there. I mean, it was some intense, you know, but what was awesome about that track is the lines. I mean, those guys, they could go inside, outside. I mean, yeah, it was crazy how good it was.
Yeah. That's one of the things about a sand track, you know, there's not just one line or two good lines. Like you can be creative and make different things work. And I love that. And the track is ever changing. And I think that made for some of the best racing throughout that, you know, 2 to 5, 6 area there was some of the best racing that we've seen in a really long time. And I really love to see that. And we touched on Brandon. He ended up P3 on the day, third in both motos. He ended up battling with Ristrelli, I think, in the first moto. They talked about that battle being epic there. He was duking it out with Bryce at the start of moto 2. I think he went off the track then. I think that's kind of what's ended that little battle there. But all in all, good day for Brandon, much like Bryce was in Texas. I'm sure he's not stoked with third at this point. But yeah, at the end of the day, you can't complain about podiums. The kid's only got 10 of them. This is his 10th podium. So to think that he's not going to be, you know, happy with a top three, I'm sure he's happy, but I know he wants more. But that just tells you, you know, how competitive and how these guys are just going for it. And like I said, this battle is going to be really fun, and then it's going to be fun to see if anybody else can get up in there. But it's been fun to see Brandon really bring some consistency and just this, he's always had crazy speed at times, but to see the consistency that he's brought this year, it's his first, we said on social media, it's his first 3 podium, you know, streak here. And that's a pretty cool thing to see. It's a step from him for sure. This is the best Brandon Hogue that we've seen. And it's going to be fun to see how this plays out for the next, you know, 6-7 races.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like in years past, he's always had a gremlin here or there, you know, whether it's a bike malfunction or something crazy happened to him. So it's, yeah, it is really cool to see him up there putting up a fight and getting that, you know, whether it's second, third podium spot and being up there with those guys. Cause it's with the competition as tight as it is, it's tight for sure.
It's so nip and tuck throughout the class here. Speaking of nip and tuck, so fourth overall, Max Lindquist ends up fourth overall. Really impressive day for him. We talked about him battling up at the front of the pack there. He goes 8-4 for 4th, which never happens, Ian. Like that never, ever, ever happens. So to come out 8-4 for 4th was pretty cool for Max there. He was top 3 in the first moto at the start there. He ripped the whole shot in moto to, he had that get off, and you referenced that in the first moto. I don't know what happened there. So to think that he had that get off, went all the way back to 18th, and every one of those passes, he never quit and made as many passes as he could possibly make. And that earned him a fourth place spot here on the day, which when those top three are maybe distancing themselves, at least in the points, just a touch and consistency to be the next best guy there too, to be the number four guy, there's no shame in that. And I have to look this up. We'll post about it on social media, but I wonder how many people had picked Max in that tier, the tier three for ATV Fantasy, because I bet you some of those other riders had a bigger pick trend than him. And he was racing on this day, and he's like taken a step to turn the corner here in 2024. I think he's back to kind of being the old Max that we remember from a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And I didn't catch the get off, like I said, but he definitely was all the way at the back and worked his way back up, picking people off. And yeah, I believe he's back. You know, I'd heard that he changed some, Chad had told me that he changed some stuff with his program, and and he's back, you know, working with him again. And seems like that's a positive thing for him. And he's making good strides for sure, because he looked really good in the second moto, running strong up front, and it was hot and it was humid, and you know, I'm sure all them guys were hot and tired, right? But yeah, you hang on and do the best you can for sure.
Absolutely. And it's impressive, because I think that he does good at those racetracks too. So I had him pegged as one of the riders that was probably going to show up and show out there in the sand. But yeah, impressive to see that from him. Fifth overall on the day was Nick Janusa. He came from about 10th in both motos. So to go 6-5 for fifth, we always see him in the top five, but this isn't a day to sleep on, because he had to pass a lot of good guys to get there and to finish in the top five. That's impressive for Nick Janusa. Sixth place was Jeffrey Rastrelli. He went 5-7 on the day. The box score really doesn't show how good Jeffrey was, because this was the first race where we really saw some flashes from Jeffrey. I thought he hadn't got the starts up till this point that he needed to kind of be in the mix. And on this day, yeah, he did. It maybe looked like he was suffering from something or had something going on in the second moto, because he lost a couple spots there. But I thought that this was a fun glimpse to see Jeffrey back in the mix, battling with the guys in the top three. And if he can build on that, we know he's always been good at Ironman. He's got a lot of podiums there, a number of podiums over the years there at Ironman. So he could be a rider to watch at the next round as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I ducked my head in his trailer between motos there and was telling him, you know, man, I was impressed with how he rode in that first one. And he said once he got out there, he goes, I don't think I took a breath for three laps. He goes, he's like, you know, like your instinct is you see you're up front and you see two or three guys ahead of you, and it's, you're instantly like, I got to catch these guys.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, I don't think I took a breath. I just held my breath for three laps. He's like, so by the end, I was like spent. He said,
dead.
So yeah. He said, yeah. He's like, I was doing all I could to hang on and pick right lines and stay on the bike. But yeah, he put up a heck of a fight for sure. And I didn't talk to him after the second one either, but he definitely, I mean, he still held his own for sure.
It was the best we've seen from him for sure. Yep. So like I said, maybe sixth overall doesn't show it, but it was the flashes that were there this weekend that were fun to see. Seventh overall, Mason Jackson, man, he's been amazing. I asked him to come on this episode and he's sick, so I didn't want to force him to be on here. He was willing to do it, but didn't want to force him to be on here. I know I asked you a round or two about that same thing, and it's not fun to when this is an audio show. That's not a fun thing to do when all you can do is hear yourself inside your head with that head cold or whatever. But he's been absolutely incredible. Ended up seventh on the day. 10-6 was his moto scores. He passed Jeffrey in the second moto and beat Jeffrey Rastrelli. Man, it was like, you know, he was on minis like not that many years ago, you know? So to think about how well he's done in these first few races as a pro, he's another rider that I don't really know what there's left to say about this guy. He gets better every weekend and he's looking more and more. I remember posting at some point, you know, we've seen him qualify in the top five and he was running in the top six in one of the motos and looking like he belonged there. And this is kind of what I thought, like, the ceiling would be of what we were going to see from Mason this year. And we're already seeing it at round three. So that's really, really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely impressive for being a first year pro, you know, in the class, I mean, the pro-am experience is one thing, but to have lined up on the gate with those guys, I mean, I can't imagine the nerves and let alone rubbing tires with them and
Unreal.
running, 18, 20 minutes with them. So it's yeah, it's impressive for sure to watch him ride.
It just shows these guys are cut different too. Like to not look at Jeffrey Rastrelli and be like, okay, he's supposed to beat me, to go get him, man. It just shows the mindset of these kids. Eighth overall, Wesley Wolf. He was amazing in the first moto again. He's been amazing all year. Fourth in that first moto, and then it had to have been a crash because I heard people talking about, that he looked busted up. I tried to get an update from him leading up to the show here and didn't get one from him. I don't know any details about what he may be dealing with. I haven't seen an update on his social media. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if you have any info there, Ian, but it's a shame if Wesley is hurt. I know some people were hypothesizing about a collarbone maybe or something like that. But if that is true, that's a real shame because he has been on freaking fire to start the season here, and he's been amazing. He's been a great addition at the mix there in the top five, and I don't want to lose the guy.
No, absolutely. It's great to see him running up front like that. I mean, he was looking impressive there, absolutely. And I didn't see the crash in the second race either. I did see him circling around the track after that, holding his arm tight to his body, and I heard rumblings, the same thing, that it was a collarbone. So, and I did see him afterwards loading his rig up, and he had it in a sling.
He did. Okay.
I, beyond that, I didn't, it looked like he was in pain, like could
That's
barely,
telling. Yeah.
yeah, for sure. I'm just like, oh
That's
man.
telling because he's a tough dude.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. After the wreck at Loretta's that year and all the surgeries and so on that he's been through, man,
Yeah.
that's, yeah, he looked
Crazy.
like he was in pain. So hopefully maybe he can get it fixed and be back. I don't know if it would be as soon as Crawfordsville, but it's,
That can happen. That can happen. We've seen it with
That's
collarbones.
right.
So,
Yes.
yeah, we've seen it, whether it was a year ago with Chad or Joel many years ago. Yeah, we've seen that. So I wouldn't put it past him.
No.
So yeah, credit to Wesley, who's an SSI guy now. So I
Yeah,
dig that.
definitely.
Ninth overall, Kevin Saar. We won't dig into Kevin too much because he's coming up on the show here, but an impressive ninth for him. 10th overall, Cody Ford. I believe he's been 10th in every race so far this year. So that's kind of shades from Cody Ford in years past. So I love to see that. 11th, Joe Chambers. 11th overall, but he was 7th in the first moto. And then something I think happened in the second moto. He wasn't really in contention there, but 7th in the first moto, Ian. He's been really, really impressive too. And he's been more impressive than I expected for sure. Like I expected big things out of Mason Jackson as a rookie. Didn't know if we'd see that out of Joey Chambers, because just you never know. Like you said, big jump from pro-am to pro, and those motos being longer and that intensity and stuff, but he's been really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was thinking. Same lines as he had a great first moto, and then I also seen him rolling around the track in that second moto, halfway through or something. So I figured something must have happened. But I was, yeah, absolutely. He looked great out there early in that early on in the second one, and then as well in the first moto. Impressive for sure for not knowing what he's coming into with those guys.
He's been good all year long. So credit to him. He's been impressive. Don't sleep on Adam Ulrich. He 12th overall, but he was 9th in the first moto. That was really good for him. 12th overall, 9-12 for 12th. Grayson Eller makes his pro motocross debut. GNCC XC2 rider, event winner, I believe, in XC2 earlier this year. Of course, his dad is the owner of Phoenix Racing. So he jumps in the pro class and finishes 10th in the top 10 in the second moto, which was awesome to see the GNCC skills being flexed there in the sand. So that was really impressive for Grayson. 14th overall, Aaron Salinas, 14-11 for 14th, and Marshall Smith rounds out the field with 15-14 scores for 15th overall. So great racing in the pro class for sure there. And yeah, I know, Ian, we gotta get you out of here, and I know you were only there on Saturday, so I'll refrain from asking you about any amateur racing. But the two amateur classes or other classes other than the pro class that race both of their motos on Saturday, I don't know if you watch them or not, but Pro Sport and the WMX class. So in Pro Sport, Joey Norris wins, JJ Launderville gets second, and Anda Chuhu, the international rider, gets third overall. How good? The question I want to ask you is, how good has Joey Norris been? How impressive has Joey Norris been so far this season, man? Because he looks like a little Bryce Ford from years ago or something. He's been just like crazy fast and has a little attitude or whatever, and it's just really fun to see. The kid like doesn't know anything but peg. And it's been a lot of fun to watch so far this year.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, I was just talking to Bryce about him last night or day before or something, and just saying that seeing him in Daytona, then, you know, seeing him over the weekend. And, you know, I think it just takes the experience and the training just to build that stamina to be able to, you know, race that long for even the pro-am class. You know, pro sport's one thing. It's what, 5-6 laps, something like that. And then jumping in on Sunday to pro-am. It's, you know, that's a whole nother ball game when you're running 15 minutes or whatever. And I mean, I think he can train and get the time in, and he's got the drive, you know, he can do well.
For sure. He's got no speed, but like I said, but fast, but pinned. And I was really impressed, not to go back too far, but at Daytona, I was really impressed with the way that he kept chugging. Like I was blown away with the way that he played, with the way things played out there and the way he rode. The other thing I'm going to have you comment on is Kinzie Osborne's 31 moto win streak in the WMX class. It's absolutely amazing and awesome to see. Natalie Jackson is a formidable competitor and formidable rival for her now, but can't not touch on Kinzie Osborne's 31 win moto streak, because that's amazing. I don't care if you're an A rider racing in the C class, to do it that many times is pretty impressive. To not have a problem, not have a mechanical, whatever it is, that's a cool thing that we got to touch on.
Yeah, definitely. And I even sent Jeremy a message in about a couple other things and told him congratulations. And and he's like, yeah, well, hopefully we can keep the streak going moving into these hard pack tracks. And, you know, it just changes it up a little bit. But that's impressive for sure, because that's a lot of wins for sure.
Yeah, it sure is. Ironman is next. You just touched on it. Ironman is next. Back to the Midwest we go, back to our neck of the woods, Ian. So final thoughts heading into Ironman. Like you just said, the next line on my sheet is the first real hard pack track of the year. I love that stuff. Love that track. What are your thoughts going into Ironman? Do you have any expectations or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for a lot of guys, it's flipping it a 180 from what they've been at even the last two rounds with sandy, rough conditions. So setups are going to be different. I mean, a lot faster. I think Ironman, even Chad and I were talking Monday, it in the past has tend to get like choppy and rough.
Yeah.
And the last few seasons, he said it's been softer. So it'll be interesting, you know, to see how the track turns out, because it always has been real hard and fast and gets choppy. And I think it's definitely a different, all the riders are going to have to go in with a little different mindset than the rough stuff. So it's going to be good. Yeah.
It'll be good. It'll be a change up from what we've had so far. So I'd like to hear that. I'd like to think about that. I'd like the thought of going to do something a little different here, but guys, that's a wrap. Ian's got to get out of here. I got to get this thing edited so we can get it out to our listeners. But Ian, I can't thank you enough for joining me, buddy. I would do this every night if I could. Always so much fun to talk a little racing with you as always. And thanks so much for all you do for the podcast and myself, and look forward to doing this again. Look forward to seeing you at Ironman.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Cody. It's been great as always, and we'll see you next weekend.
You're the man, Ian. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Ian Harris signing off on the Digging Deep ATVMX podcast, brought to you by SSI Decals. Have a good night, pal.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
The following message is brought to you by Manscaped.com. The Manscaped engineering team has outdone themselves this time, creating the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, an official sponsor of the Digging Deep ATVMX podcast, with this exclusive offer of 20% off and free worldwide shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I am blown away. This thing is next level. What sets this trimmer apart from all the rest? The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. It features a new multi-functioning on-off switch with travel lock for those of us who like to travel. And my favorite, the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim with four different guard lengths, an upgrade from its predecessor that only featured two. If you're listening, you know that good tools are a must, so wait no more to get the best tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com by using code DIGGINGDEEP20.
Hey everyone, this is Larry Mills, president of DP Breaks North America and proud partner of the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast. We at DP Breaks are a longtime supporter of ATV racing and the world leader in centered brake technology, dominating the ATV world for decades by supporting the best four-wheeled racers on the planet. This year's lineup includes Jeff Rastrelli, Mark Baldwin and Baldwin Motorsports, Ford Brothers Racing, Nick Janusa, and many more, including Mr. Digging Deep himself, Cody Jansen. Plus all the top 17 GNCC pros such as seven-time champion Walker Fowler, Bryson Neal, Hunter Hart, Cole Richardson, Jared McClure, Adam McGill, and previous champion Chris Borch. These top riders continue to appreciate the high performance and impressive durability that their DP brakes have to offer, products that ultimately help place them on top of the podium week after week. DP brakes are available through www.dp-brakes.com, or you can purchase them through your local Parts Unlimited stocking dealer, or you can even message us, myself, Larry Mills, or DP Brakes on Instagram or Facebook. And if you have any questions about product or sponsorship support, please ask us. We are waiting for you. Join the best ATV riders in the world equipped with DP Brakes, and have a great year, everyone.
Nearing two decades into the brand's existence, Factory 43 is back and better than ever, continuing to make major waves in the ATV world. For the third consecutive season, Factory 43 is the official aluminum parts choice of the Phoenix Racing ATV team, providing their state-of-the-art Evo Nerf bars, MX-style front bumpers, and grab bars for two-time champ Joel Hetrick. If you're in the market to upgrade your Nerf bars, bumpers, or grab bars, head over to factory43atv.com to see their full line of industry-leading products available for all makes and models. Head over to factory43atv.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Stillo, director of the D6 Ultimate Quad Series. We've been working hard over the years to bring you the very best in local ATV motocross racing. The D6 Ultimate Quad Series has race classes for all ages and skill levels. Maybe you're an experienced rider or you're just starting out, we have a class for you. We're excited to announce that we have 11 rounds of racing at tracks located in Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland. For more information, follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, guys. So as we welcome Kevin Saar onto the show here, I just thought I'd offer the updated info that we've received directly from Wesley Wolf. And I'm just going to read word for word the update that he gave us. Wesley says, "Ultimately, I have a broken collarbone and a broken shoulder blade. Driving home on Saturday night, my plan was to plate the collarbone because I knew it was broke and be ready for Ironman. But Monday, I got a surprise of a broken blade. They don't operate on the blade unless it's life or death, so it sucks. Only time will heal. Both are broken all the way through, but not displaced." So my response to Wesley was, obviously, "I'm so sorry to hear that. It's been so much fun to watch him riding so well this season." And I told him, "Rest assured knowing that you left a lasting impression on us before you got hurt." His response was, "He's already on the spin bike at home and his plan is to hit the last few races of the season." So Wesley Wolf is a bad man. I give him so much credit. He's been one of the funnest riders to watch so far this season. His rise to being a podium contender like we saw a few seasons ago, absolutely, like I said, absolutely a bad man. And we want to see Wesley Wolf on the ended on the track as soon as possible. So I just thought that we would give some updated info there. And as for our next guest, we invited Max Lindquist on. We invited Mason Jackson on. Both riders were a little under the weather, so we'll get back with them again soon. But this next guest is only sick on the racetrack at the moment. Let's get to him. All right, guys, I'm excited to welcome back this next guest to the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast. Coming off a strong weekend for him, his best weekend of the season so far here in 2024. Brought to you by CST Tires. Visit shop.csttires.com today to shop their full line of tires, headlined by their industry-leading Pulse MXR Sport ATV tire. Please welcome from Estonia, a five-time European champion and now a regular here in the States, Mr. Kevin Saar. Kevin, welcome back to Digging Deep, and
And thanks so much for being here with me, pal. Congrats on your Pro-Am win this past weekend in Georgia. And yeah, man, so stoked to have a little time with you here.
Hey, Cody. Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here and talk with you. Thanks for having me.
So you guys ride in some gnarly conditions in Europe at times, Kevin, from at least some of the pictures and videos and stuff I've seen. So I thought you'd be strong at Etchikani. You know, you never know what you're going to get with a sand track. I feel like it blindsides some riders, especially because we haven't rode there since 2015, I think. So, you know, there's a lot of riders that probably had never been to Etchikani, and the track is ever changing. I just thought that your Euro style, your background, I thought was going to be really strong there. I put you on my ATV fantasy team on Saturday, and you finished strong in the pro class with the ninth there, but it seemed like you saved your best for Sunday, pal.
Yeah, it's actually really different from Europe, because in Europe they like to put the big tires with sidecars, mm-hmm. and everything, and here you have a lot of quads out there, so it's so different. In my opinion, it's even harder here, because the pace is faster, tracks are faster. And yeah, in Europe, the races are much longer and the pace is not there. So it feels easier back in Europe.
Okay. Well, and more than anything, I just knew you come in with such a diverse background. You know, I feel like you guys race so much different stuff over there too, between, you know, obviously we see you guys riding some hard packed tracks and stuff like that, but also then you go and do like a beach race, you know what I mean? So I know the races are different, but it was more the fact that I know that you come to the races having done a little bit of everything. You've rode a little bit of everything. I just thought that was going to be a strength of yours. But talking about this weekend specifically, if memory serves me correctly, in the Pro-Am class, you got the hole shot and led early in Moto One, I believe. And then Mason Jackson eventually passes you and wins that first moto. But in the second moto, you were the one making the passes, and you eventually made the pass on Mason, kind of doing to him what he did to you in the first moto. And then eventually you got that Moto Two an overall win. So tell me about that, because I heard you on the podium after the first moto say you needed to up your intensity, and that was something that you were going to focus on between races and going into Moto Two. So tell me how that played out, because honestly, it seemed like it played out exactly how you wanted it to.
Yeah, that's my weakest point. Yeah, my first laps, I need to be more aggressive. I'm trying to be, but it takes a lot of risk. And yeah, I'm trying to be more aggressive for sure. And in Pro-Am class, I did get the whole shot first race. That was really cool for me. I tried to go as fast as I could, but I made some line mistakes, bad choices, and Mason got by me, so he won that one. But the second one, I didn't get as good as start. I got the first one. I think I was fourth, but the race was much better for me. I felt much better, and I found some good lines that race.
Well, sometimes when you're not the guy out front, when you're in that probably that sweet spot of being 3, 4, 5, something like that, you're able to try some different lines and watch what the guys are doing in front of you. And it's a little easier to ride a little looser. When you get the whole shot, you kind of just want to stick with the lines you know are going to be safe, right? And especially in the sand, because the track is ever changing. There's so many lines in the sand. It's not just an inside and an outside, where if you're leading, you probably don't want to try anything too crazy. Yet when you're got to come through the pack, you can unlock some stuff and try some different stuff to get around guys. And then, you know, you're like, damn, that really worked. I'm going to stick with that line. I'm assuming that's kind of how that second moto played out.
Yeah. And also if you are up front alone, you don't know which line is faster.
Exactly.
Yeah. As you said, you stick to the one line. Rider behind you can try different lines and they can see if that one is faster or not. So yeah, it's easier to come from behind, but I really wanted to get the whole shot second race too, because it started to rain, and it was much better to be up front.
And that was one of the other things I was going to touch on, is, you know, that the stigma or whatever is that you European guys ride in the rain and the cold and whatever, maybe a little more than we do over here. So that was the other thing is I thought when it started raining or when there was the threat of rain, I'm like, hey, Kevin, maybe, you know, may flex his muscles here. So did you feel like that was a strength of yours or is a strength of yours when it's a little wetter or muddier like that? Or is that not really a thing? Is that just like I said, is that a stereotype of you European riders?
It's pretty funny. I don't really like riding in the mud and in the rain, but I I usually do pretty good. So
okay.
So I lean more liking terrain and muddy conditions, but but yeah, I was thinking it's gonna be much worse as it showed a lot of rain, but when I went to see the track in the morning, it looked pretty good. And yeah, the races were pretty decent on Sunday too.
It looked pretty damn good, I thought. I mean, I know sand sucks up a lot of water, so it can kind of withstand some stuff there. But yeah, it's funny too, because we've seen you shine in the mud. We've seen you shine in the mud at, you know, Pleasure Valley a little bit. Obviously, you got that podium there last year and all those things. At the same time, I don't know if it's just because you're strong necessarily in the mud. You don't have to love it or whatever, but I think that it's, you're a rider, and I love watching you ride, because it's like poetry in motion, where you hit your mark, you hit those same lines that you want to hit lap after lap after lap. You're so in control that I think that that's probably why you are good, you are strong when it's either muddy or conditions maybe aren't ideal, because I can trust that you're going to do the same thing every lap and probably not miss your mark, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like that's definitely something that I've picked up on since you've been here in the States.
Yeah, for sure. As I said before, I'm not as aggressive as the most of the pro riders, and I think that helps me with the rain and slippery conditions. So I'm not as aggressive, and I'm easy on the throttle. So I think when it's slippery and rainy, then it's good. But I need to be more aggressive. That's for sure.
Well, I think that that's getting better every time you're out there racing with those guys though, right? I mean, there's no substitute for being out there with those guys, seeing that speed and seeing that intensity every single weekend like you are. Like, there's no way to simulate that. I mean, look at all the racing, the high level racing that you did coming into, you know, leading up to you having this career here these last couple of years in the States. There's just no way to see the speed that you guys have without being out there in the actual pro races here on US soil. There's no substitution for that, but I think, like, I feel like you're getting stronger every weekend in that category.
Yeah, you can be as aggressive as you want during the trainings, but that's nothing like being in the pro start and the pro first laps. It's really, really intensive. And yeah, I'm trying to learn. I'm definitely learning and getting better. So, and my feeling on the track is also getting a lot better. And yeah, that's good.
And I know Etchikani is different because that was a new track to you this year, but I would assume now going to these racetracks, and for the most part, like most of them, at least three quarters of them, you're going to have been to already. I got to believe that that feels a little better than it did a year ago when you were going to every racetrack blind. So, you know, you see how these guys qualify, like they're going a million miles an hour on the very first lap. And a year ago, you were just trying to figure out the racetrack. And now at least you come into these race weekends knowing what to expect from the racetrack. You've already learned it pretty much. You don't have to learn it this year. I feel like that's got to be a little bit of a weight off your shoulders as well, I would think.
Oh yeah, it takes a lot of stress away. Already last round at the underground, I could jump everything on the first or second lap. So it's less stressful for sure. And I'm looking forward to the next races. I feel like I can do better than I have done so far.
Yeah, well, and it's so early yet, you know. It's so early yet. I think last year at Ironman would have been the first time that I saw you ride, and in person, obviously. And I remember, like I said, the poetry in motion thing, that's where it all started for me, watching you hit your marks lap after lap. It was just so impressive. And I think I know you won your qualifier there last year. Didn't you win the overall at Ironman last year too, in Pro-Am?
Yeah, I went 1-1 in Pro-Am, but
I thought so.
My main goal is still the pro class. I want to do good there.
I know you do. But I think the Pro-Am thing is still it's still a good feather in your cap. It's still really fast. I mean, look at the dudes that you're racing against. You're racing against Mason Jackson, who's like you were a year ago, Rookie of the Year. He's you know, looking like the shoe-in for Rookie of the Year this year. And I would assume the way that you two are, you know, the main competitors in Pro-Am, and you're finding each other around each other a lot in the pro class, I'm assuming that that's kind of a goal, and you probably won't even maybe admit that this is the case, but you probably want to beat him on Saturdays too. You know, like he's a main competitor of yours right now.
For sure. He's been slipping away in the pro races. So I want to follow him and hopefully pass the next races.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I like that kid. I like that family. They seem super nice from the interactions I've had with them. And it's cool. I think that you two are just pushing each other to get better, whether it's on Saturdays or Sunday or whatever. So the two of you each have now won an overall in the Pro-Am class. So you're tied in points. I know that's not your goal, but it sure would be cool to maybe win that title down the stretch later this season or whatever. But just to be in contention there is pretty rad. And as for the pro class, you've been on the comeback trail a little bit. You kind of just referenced that you've wanted to be a little better than you had been. And it all started with that nasty crash at Daytona, Kevin. I thought that you were going to be hurt there. I thought you were going to be really messed up there for a couple minutes when we saw you, you know, kind of on your hands and knees and trying to kind of figure out what you had going on. Maybe you had knocked the wind out of yourself or whatever it was, but it was scary from our perspective. That was an ugly one, pal. So I was just glad to see you okay after that one. And then let alone you wait a little while and then you get back in the race. I couldn't believe it, but that was scary.
I did hurt my head a lot. I felt really dizzy a few minutes. I'm really lucky the doctors didn't take me from there. I was sure they are going to take me off the track, but I waited for a few minutes, and yeah, I wanted to really finish the race. I got back on the bike and just did some laps there. So yeah, it was a hard hit. It took some confidence out of me for sure for the next races too. But I'm feeling okay now, and I'm looking forward to the next races. And yeah, it's in the past, and I'm not thinking about it anymore.
No, and I know, and I hate to bring it up. I just being that's how it started, now to follow it up with a ninth in Texas and a ninth this past weekend, those are really great finishes. But I wanted to, you know, if you quickly look at, you know, you being 11th in points or whatever in the pro class, I don't think that really tells the story, which is why I wanted to, you know, touch on that, because you had a very similar crash to what Chad did, right? And we watched you do it. And then a lap or two later, Chad does it. And it was just it was a really scary situation. We love having you in the States here so much. And for a moment when you're, you know, hands and knees on the ground, I'm scared that there goes your season. Like, that's where my mind was at the time. So obviously just super stoked that you got out of there unscathed. And I also found myself then reflecting in that moment, because, you know, my mind is racing. And like I said, I cheer for you. I pull for you. I like Brad and I like your team. I mean, I like all those things. And I'm thinking, man, for a rider like Kevin, I'm so bummed that it went this way at the opener, because I know you've done this now a couple times, but I have to imagine that, you know, a young kid in Estonia dreaming of racing here in the States one day, and that glitz and glamour of Daytona inside that stadium and everything that comes with the season opener and all the excitement and all those things, it still has to feel like a dream for you. You know, I mean, as it does for all of us, as it does for anybody racing there, and especially in the pro class, but it's just got to feel so cool that I hated that it went that way. But I'm assuming that it has to still be a little surreal to sit on the starting line, look up at this giant, you know, stadium, the world center of racing, as they call it. And that's just got to be the coolest thing. Coming from where you come from, I wonder if you sometimes think like, man, how did I get here? And that's just got to be so, so cool that you put all the pieces together. You had all the right, you know, support group and all those things to get you here. And then to have become a good enough rider where you're absolutely 1000% worthy and deserving to be there. Like, man, credit to you, credit to everybody that helped you in your career in Europe and earn this spot over here, all those things, man. But that's gotta be just being there, man. The realization of a goal, of a dream, of a vision. That's got to be really, really cool too. So maybe that's the better part to take away from talking about Daytona is, you know, is it's a really got to be a dream come true for you, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel as excited as I was last year coming back here. It's really unreal coming back here again. Just the only part that's missing is my family watching me at the track, being with me at the track. But everything else is just like a dream. And like I said last year, it's not changing. I like every race. I like every people here. Everyone's so nice to me, and we really love to be here. So, like you said, everything's true. And I'm not too worried about the crash. I'm glad I'm okay. I got up and didn't get any big injuries. So there's nothing to worry about. We just race the next rounds and be happy we are here.
Heck yeah, man. I love that. And that's kind of what I take away from every time I hear you talk and hear you talk on the podium is just, I love to hear you with all your humility and your positivity and all those things that you always bring. You're always kind of looking at the glass half full side of things, which is kind of the way I think. So I love to hear those things.
Success in the ATV MX world is similar to what creates financial success as well. The right people, the right advice, and more importantly, hard work and the benefit of an ongoing relationship as situations change and adversity is experienced. Do you have the right financial advisor to help you reach your goals? Haymauer Financial Group can create a personalized, goal-based plan to help your family prepare for whatever life brings. Call me, Scott Haymauer, at Haymauer Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, at 920-338-8150. That's 920-338-8150. Offices located in beautiful De Pere, Wisconsin, with registrations and clients nationwide.
Headlined by the 4130 Cromali, Launderville Steel and Concrete Supply is a full-service steel supplier of new and surplus steel, aluminum, and stainless steel products. This racing family-owned full metal service center and concrete product supplier comes with over 30 years of experience serving the entire United States from their central Midwest location. As the number one choice for nationwide shipments and with available next-day delivery in select areas, LSE has you covered near or far. 4130 is not just the chromoly tubing and plate used in the building of chassis for an array of motorsports applications, but it is also the name of the newest addition to the Pro Paddock with riders Jaden JJ Launderville and Max Lindquist, introducing the new 4130 Motorsports team. Launderville Steel offers a large selection of material for any project, including their concrete division that can supply everything you need to complete your next business or personal project. For a quote or more info, visit LaundervilleSteel.com today or give them a call at 715-675-6193. That's 715-675-6193.
Here at Digging Deep, we have an obvious passion for ATVs and pridefully enjoy sharing the sport's history. Since 2019, when the podcast was born, we've been working to partner with individuals who share our passion, but one man and his vision had been missing from our partnership group. Until now. When it comes to the sport's history, the hallowed grounds of Binky's Forever ATC Museum has it all. Binky Tapscott's mind-blowing collection of three- and four-wheelers has preserved history by spanning all makes and models from Honda three-wheelers in chronological order to unique builds that shaped ATV racing as we know it, like Doug Gust's iconic DRZ-powered hybrid thumper and everything in between. There's no denying Binky's passion, a passion that we certainly relate to here at Digging Deep. Binky's goal is to share his amazing collection with fellow enthusiasts by making his prized possessions accessible to the public via scheduled visits. Follow Forever ATC Museum on Facebook and watch foreveratc.com for further updates on possibly getting a chance to see Binky's Forever ATC Museum for yourself. We are proud to welcome Binky's Forever ATC Museum to the Digging Deep family.
As the number one podcast in ATV racing, it's only right that we partner with the industry leaders in suspension tuning. Insert Impact Solutions. Impact Solutions is a full-service ATV and side-by-side suspension center specializing in the revalving and service of your motocross and off-road suspension. With over 25 years of elite-level knowledge, experience, and testing with riders of all ages and ability levels, Jay Goble and the Impact crew strive to exceed the client's expectations for service and setup. Impact Solutions is the official Elka Suspension Service Center of the United States, offering unmatched product knowledge and experience. Whether you're in need of service, parts, warranty, sales, or technical support, Impact Solutions has you covered. Head over to ImpactSolutionsATV.com or give them a call today. With a desire to keep you in the race, Ultimate Poly Products offers the ultimate protection collection of case savers, chain sliders, intake manifolds, and more. Founded on quality in 1998, this family-owned and operated business produces products created by racers for racers. These industry-leading products are proudly made and manufactured in the USA, with their case savers being made of the highest quality American-made polyurethane on the market and designed to completely conform to your engine case to help prevent case damage from a thrown chain, because no one wants to be a spectator on race day. Join top pro riders like Bryson Neal, Walker Fowler, John Glotta Jr., Adam McGill, Cole Richardson, and more by using UPP Racing products. Use discount code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com to save on your next order. Ultimate Poly Products, made to last longer so you can ride more.
Thanks for listening, and remember to support our partners. Now back to the show.
So like I said, ninth in Texas to follow that up, ninth this past weekend, really strong finishes in the pro class. We saw you, obviously, like I referenced, you got that podium last year at Pleasure Valley when all the stars aligned and you earned that spot on the podium. So I would assume that the goal is ultimately getting as close as possible to the podium every weekend, knowing that obviously that's a difficult thing to do. The class is so damn fast, but as close to the podium as you can get is obviously the goal, I would think. And I mean, if you can get close or near or break into the top five, like I would think that that's about where you want to be, right?
Yeah, right now, top five to top seven, I think is my realistic goal. I'm not taking unrealistic goals. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to work on and just step by step getting up there.
I love that, man. I love that. And I think that you're exactly right. I mean, you put it in the top five to seven, like that's like winning, you know, because the dudes in front of you then are the guys that have been doing it for, you know, doing it really here for the most part for a really long time. Like it's so hard to break into the Nick Janusas, the Jeffrey Rastrellis, those guys that have done it forever. Right. I mean, I give so much credit to you guys that are nipping at their heels, because as a racer, I never got over that point. You know, like I was like in my seventh, eighth was as good as I ever got. And I think some of it was that mental hurdle of like looking up to those guys in front of me too much. So you guys that are able to kind of look past that and nip at the heels of those guys in front of you and think that you belong there, I respect that a ton. And I think that that's where you're at, is you belong with that next group of guys. And I think when everything goes right and you get good starts and everything, you know, kind of falls into place the way that you're kind of starting to you know, get your trajectory going that way, I think that you can run with those guys.
Yeah, some races when I finished 10th or 11th, I maybe start to think a little bit if I should keep continuing. But then I remember I'm racing the best in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm in the top 10 with the best riders in the whole world. So
yeah.
So then again, I'm really happy and I'm looking forward to the next races. So
absolutely.
Nothing to worry about.
No, nothing to worry about at all, man. Anytime you think about that, you tell your girlfriend or whatever, tell her to tell you that, man, you're one of the top 10 fastest ATV riders in the world. Like you never question that. Never, ever, ever question that you're not doing the right thing here. So
it's so easy to start worrying.
I know.
And yeah,
I know.
Overthink. You always want to be better. So
well, that's how it goes. That's what makes you the athlete that and the competitor that you are. If you were okay with being 10th, you wouldn't be Kevin Saar and you wouldn't be as successful as you've been. You wouldn't be 10th. You wouldn't even be out there with those guys, right? Like nobody that you're racing against for the most part that's finishing 10th is happy about it, but it's like, what are you going to do about it to get from 10th to 7th or whatever? And I know that you're grinding away trying to earn your spot, you know, farther up in the pack, which is awesome. But yeah, never question. I know it's the competitor in you. I know it's only our nature to question it, but I'm here to tell you, you shouldn't question it, pal. So yeah, the other thing I want to touch on is the team dynamic, because it's a little different this year, right? Now it's not just Music Racing like it was last year. The team has joined forces with the Media All-Stars and United Motorsports. So what has that been like so far? Is it any different for you as a rider, or is it pretty much the same as it was a year ago?
For me as a rider, it's pretty much the same. We have more riders in the team, so at the races we can be together. We have more people there talking to each other, so it's more like, how to say, it's more people around, so
more of a community, but not too much different for you as a rider.
Yeah, feels just like a bigger team.
Got it.
For me, that's it. Yeah,
got it. Well, I think the one good thing is it's more support, right? So more support for the team is I mean, the trickle down I think is probably good as a rider, but yeah, that was one thing I at least wanted to touch on for the team's sake, as I had you here. And maybe now for a second we take it away from the racetrack, because we haven't talked much in depth since, you know, a year ago at this time or whatever. But being in the States and living out your dreams like we kind of referenced, is in all those things, is it starting to feel a little more normal? Like, does it feel normal? Because now you've been here for a while, you know, on the racetrack. Like I was kind of just talking you up. I was you know, telling you you belong there, and you do. You very much belong there. There's no doubt about that. But then I see you guys post. I see you and your girlfriend post about getting out, or maybe she's the one posting these things, but getting out and exploring and doing some other stuff when you guys are traveling around and stuff like that. And you're making the most of your time here, which is very obvious. So I guess just being here and living as, you know, kind of an American almost and doing this whole thing, is it starting to feel normal? Because I got to imagine a year ago at this time, it felt like a whirlwind and everything was so new, and I can't imagine how much you were learning at the time. Is it feeling normal now?
Yes, compared to the last year, it feels like home now. When we came back in January, yep. I was thinking maybe it's gonna be like last year again, like starting over. But no, it felt absolutely normal. And yeah, we are trying to look around, visit the places. But
yeah,
me as a racer, I want to go from track to track.
I want to grind. I want to stay grinding. Yeah, that's how that goes. And credit to her for being a trooper, because I'm sure she supports the way that you want to do things and all that. But yeah, as a competitor, I know that feeling. I just got to keep riding. I just got to keep riding. But credit to you too for making a little time to see some things and whatever. And I don't know if you think the way I do, but I would be, if I was in your shoes, I'd be thinking someday we're going to remember this. We're going to remember our time here in the States, whether it's these two seasons or it's 10, you know, the next 8, whatever it is. I have to imagine that for you and your family, it's got to be something that you're going to just remember as like the golden age. Like, man, do you remember when we did that? You know, you're going to be sitting around 40 years from now, like, hey, do you remember when we did that? Like, that's just, I can't imagine what it would be like for me to go to Europe to race my ATV, you know, like be a world away. And I just, that's why I give you so much credit, because to use that ATV as a vehicle to be here in the States and do this whole song and dance, man, you know, that's so cool. But I can't, like, this is going to be some of the greatest memories you will probably ever make, you know, like, think about that.
Yeah. We are trying to collect memories. We are trying to buy event t-shirts at every race. Yeah. We are buying souvenirs from every state. So we are enjoying it to the fullest and trying to take everything we can.
I love that. Where did you finish in points last year in the pro?
That was 9.
So as a 9th place pro, the thing always was, is you had to finish in the top 10 to get on a t-shirt. So do we have any intel that you're going to be on an event t-shirt at any time? Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't know, but I
I'm hoping so. Okay.
One race they had a picture of whole shots, so I was there.
Okay. You were on the whole shot.
In the back there.
Got it. Well, I remember finishing top 10 in points and, you know, thinking to myself, man, I hope that this gets me on a t-shirt next year. And I got it. So, I hope that you get that same feeling, and I will buy one of those t-shirts. If you're on one of those event t-shirts, man, I think that would be something that would be really cool. One question again, outside of the ATV thing. So outside of ATV racing, now you just told me you're at, when you guys go to the zoo, you're thinking about riding your four-wheeler, and I get that. But who is Kevin Saar outside of ATV racing? Like, who is Kevin Saar? Do you have any other, you know, any other passions or hobbies? Now, probably not. Maybe fitness or whatever. That's probably what you're going to tell me. But do you have anything that you like really like or like to do or you're into other than the ATV racing thing?
Not really. I live every day to be better on my quad. And
hey, I would have probably gave everybody the same answer. So that's why I get it. But
I really like running. So it's good for the racing, but it's also the way I can get out of the everyday life. So mm-hmm.
That's kind of your you time. That's your time with yourself to kind of just process your thoughts and do something you like.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about, you know, fitness and running and biking and all those things too. What about sports? Are you into sports at all or anything like that?
I like to watch basketball, yeah, NBA. I used to play soccer.
Okay.
I'm not watching it anymore, but yeah.
Got it.
Any kind of sports I can watch, I'm watching.
You can get into it.
Especially when I'm here, the games are in the evening. When I'm back home, they are during the night, so...
Got
it's
it.
Really hard to watch.
But it's exciting now because it's playoff time. So
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that for sure. So yeah, man, I just thought it'd be fun. I was trying to think of some things that, you know, we've done these shows a few times now with you. Thought it'd be fun to kind of maybe get to get a little glimpse into what you're like behind the scenes and away from the racetrack. But pal, I hope as long as you're riding ATVs, I hope that you're doing so here in the States. I really do. You've been such a great addition to the series that I've enjoyed so much. You're such a nice guy, and we absolutely love having you here. So like I said before, we're always cheering for you, and man, I really, really, really love having you here. I think back to all the excitement when we were kind of covering the fact that you had signed on to come over here and do all these things, and I think that you were nervous about some stuff, right? I remember Brett saying, oh, he doesn't want to talk quite yet, and just to see how well you're doing at this point, and that this is a normal thing for us to have you on the show and stuff like this, man, it's really cool. So I just wanted to be able to tell you thank you for always being so good to me and gracious to the show, and being here in the States, man. We sure do love to have you.
Thank you so much. We really, really, really enjoy to be here. And I would like to say thank you to everyone that's welcoming us here, making us feel warm. We truly appreciate it. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you still feel like you're racing for all the people abroad, you know, because I see an influx of people that comment and share and stuff when we post about you. And I think that everybody everywhere is kind of like cheering for you. Like you're the guy that, you know, had to travel from afar to race in the United States and all these things. You, I'm sure, are acting as a, without knowing it, you're probably acting as, you know, a motivation or something for young people out there who are, whether they're in Europe or somewhere else, who knows where, but, you know, you're probably a motivator for them because they are seeing you make your dreams come true. And they're thinking, hey man, maybe I can do that for myself. Do you feel that? Because I sure do. In the posts that we post about you and stuff, I definitely feel that, you know, you're kind of the guy that everybody abroad is pulling for. And I think that's a pretty damn cool thing.
I hope so. I have a lot of people messaging me, asking questions. So when I was young, I had no one from Europe racing here. We had Jeremy Warnia, but I was too young then. Mm-hmm. So about 10 years, we had no one here, and it felt so far, like I can't reach it. It's impossible to come here. But last few years, we had a couple of Europeans here. I started to think maybe it's possible. So that's how it goes. I really hope I'm motivating young racers there, and they want to be here and hopefully come in the future.
Yeah, I love that, man. Well, congrats again to you and your team. You guys have so much to be proud of, and I look forward to seeing you at Ironman, pal. But congrats again on the win. Congrats again on being a top 10 ATV racer in the world. I'll make that a normal thing to yell and scream from the rooftops now if I have to. And yeah, man, but thanks so much for being here. Congrats again, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you, Cody, for having me. See you at Ironman. Thank you.
You're the man, Kevin. Thanks so much. That's Etchikani Pro-Am winner and top 10 in the pro class. Kevin Starr signing off on the Digging Deep ATV MX podcast. Have a good night, buddy. Thanks so much.
You too. Thank you.
All right, guys. Awesome to hear from Kevin Starr there. He stole the show in the Pro-Am Moto 2 and took the overall there in the Pro-Am class. So he gets the win, followed by Mason Jackson and JJ Launderville. We talked about Pro Sport and WMX, where Joey Norris got the win in Pro Sport, followed by JJ Launderville and Juan Andachuhu. In WMX, it was Kinsey Osborne again, followed by Natalie Jackson and Olivia Joyner. Some of our other shout-outs and notables that we have to mention here, Blaine Thomas won not one, but two B classes. Vincent Marinucci won not one, not two, but three C class overalls, and that's super impressive. Cody Houghton won the production A class. Landon Korn won 16-24. Skylar Paduznak won all three of the 250 classes. We've talked about that in past seasons, how impressive that is. And Ethan Cornell is back to his old ways, winning three overalls for him. But that is going to do it for this one. So great to be back at Etchikani. Thanks to all who helped us cover it. Thanks to tonight's featured guests, Ian Harris and Kevin Sarr. Thanks to producer Dallas Jansen, my brother, for all his hard work.
Thanks to my wife, Brooke, and thanks to AMA official Harv Whipple. Thanks to all of our donors. You know who you are. We appreciate you so much. Thanks to all of our partners, CST Tires. Go to shop.csttires.com today. Yamaha, thanks to Blue Crew. Thanks to SSI Decals, Valvoline, DID Racing Chain, Namira Technologies, Bronco ATV and UTV Components, Lauderville Steel Enterprises and Concrete Supply, the financial advice of the Haymauer Financial Group, DP Brakes, Factory 43, Binky's Forever ATC Museum, Impact Solutions, Ultimate Poly Products, UPP Racing, use code DIGGINGDEEP15 at uppracing.com, the D6 Ultimate Quad Series, and Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with code DIGGINGDEEP20 at manscaped.com. Support the brands that support our show, and don't forget to use those codes to save. You can find it all on our website, and be sure to click that Rocky Mountain ATVMC banner for all your gear and parts needs and to help us out. And most of all, thanks to you guys for listening. Shop.diggingdeepatvmx.com is your go-to spot for all of our Digging Deep merch. You can find all things ATV Fantasy related at atvfantasy.com. Congrats to our lone winner at round three, Patrick Reynolds, who didn't even have the perfect team, but he was able to set himself apart from the rest of the pack and get the win there. If you're looking for another easy way to help support us, visit our website and click the Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee buttons. This allows you to set up a one-time or monthly contribution to support our efforts. Follow the show on social media, Digging Deep ATVMX Podcast, and myself, Cody Jansen, for additional content coverage and more fun stuff, as next week already marks round four of the ATV Motocross National Championship Series. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find the Digging Deep ATVMX Podcast. All episodes, additional podcast providers, sponsor links and discount codes, show merchandise, fantasy info, and more can all be found on our website, diggingdeepatvmx.com, so check that out today. Be a friend, tell a friend. Please download, subscribe, rate, review, and share. And with that, for Ian Harris, Kevin Saar, Brooke Jansen, Dallas Jansen, and I'm your host, Cody Jansen, thanks for listening to and making us the most listened to podcast in ATV racing, with more than 254,000 downloads last month in 108 total countries. Until next time, thanks for joining us in Digging Deep with the Stars of ATV Motocross. See you at Ironman.
Things are crashing and burning here at the Digging Deep podcast, much like the Titanic.
Those guys were hauling ass, for real.
I remember watching Doug Guss, I don't know who it was, Steel City, running the same times Friday afternoon as James Stewart was on Sunday back then. It was mental. I've never seen quads go that fast.
Quadlers are freaking gnarly.